On today's episode, it's a joy to have psychic medium Bill Phillips join me. We'll be talking about his new book, Signs from the Other Side, Opening to the Spirit World. I'm Richard Brendan, and you're listening to Dying to Live. Who hasn't wished that they could ask a departed loved one for advice, heal an unresolved rift, or even just ask where their grandmother's strand of pearls is hidden? Well, the best psychic mediums know what solace such messages can provide. They also know that communication with those on the other side can be cultivated by anyone with a sincere and open heart. Well, in his new book, Signs from the Other Side, beloved psychic medium Bill Phillips illuminates all of this for readers by demystifying what he does, providing step-by-step guidance that allows readers to receive afterlife communications themselves, and sharing more than 20 inspiring examples of everyday people who have received messages from the other side. Psychic medium Bill Phillips is the author of not only this book, Signs from the Other Side, but also Expect the Unexpected. His life's mission is to help people deal with the grief of losing loved ones by bringing through validations, evidential information, and beautiful messages from spirit, which heal and bring a sense of peace. He conducts individual and small and large group readings and has appeared on high-profile television programs like Dr. Phil and Access Hollywood. He lives in Orange County, California, and he's joining us from that location today. Bill Phillips, it's a joy to have you joined us today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Before we get into your book, you start off to me with what was just a heart-touching introduction regarding an experience with your dad and a white butterfly. Mm-hmm. Can you share that with our listeners, please?
Yes, this was a couple of years ago, and for those that aren't familiar with my background, my father and I haven't always had the closest relationship, but it's definitely a work in progress, and I feel like he's opened his mind more over the years, too, to what I do and who I am. So we were out to brunch, and afterwards, we were out in the parking lot, and it was like a really hot day out, and this white butterfly started to circle around us for a few minutes at least, and circling around him, around me, kind of like creating an infinity symbol between us, if you could visualize that.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember saying, you know, that's my mom. And he said, yep, it is. You know, he was in total agreement with that conversation. And so it was definitely eye-opening for me to have that, but also just validating that maybe he's having his own type of experience, you know, inwardly. So it was a great experience to have.
Because before you embraced this psychic medium role, you were really on path to be an opera singer.
That's right, yeah, you know, and what I realized through my music training and my opera training is that it definitely gave me a better reference for how I work as a medium. And it helped me understand vibration and energy in a different way. So I know, looking back on it in hindsight, that training served more than one purpose. It was almost like psychic medium training and opera training all mixed into one. So, it wasn't labeled that, but there were so many different experiences and different teachers that showed up in my life when I was there that I know now was totally spirit-driven.
One of my favorite energy teachers is Lee Harris, and he writes on your book, concerning this book, the stories and lessons and signs from the other side remind us that there is more to life in our relationships than meets the eye, and when we open to that, magic starts to happen. Was that a big reason that, or what inspired you to write this book?
Yes, definitely. What I've come to know is that each and every one of us that is on this earth, we are all channels. We were all designed to, you know, to navigate through our lives with that, with our intuition and with that internal sort of GPS. Basically, we all have the capability and the potential to have that openness and to have that reference, but it just requires you to kind of get out of your rational mind. So definitely when you give yourself permission and you give the other side permission, this beautiful blending happens together, and each and every day there's something new that maybe you wouldn't have normally noticed otherwise, because your spiritual senses are open, your spiritual mind is open. And so what that does is it actually quiets down the mind chatter and the ego. And when we can do that successfully, we definitely go through life with much more joy and ease.
You refer to yourself as a psychic medium. Can you share the difference between those two roles, but also how they blend together?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So basically, a psychic or intuitive is someone who's able to tune into the energy of something carnate, so something living. You know, everything on our planet, in the universe, holds a residual energy to it. So somebody who's psychic is able to tune into that vibration and basically pick up information that would be connected to that piece. And a medium is someone who takes that to a different level of using and knowing their psychic senses, so their clair senses, their own sensitivities, and they align that with the energy of the other side to then channel through messages. Mm. So with someone who's a medium, they already have the understanding of their psychic centers, you know, of their clairs, and they're able to bring all of that together to be an effective channel for spirit.
Mm. Before this interview, my engineer Thomas and I were talking about our experiences with gut feelings or intuitive hits, signs and synchronicities, those kind of things. And you write in your book that we all have psychic abilities on some level because we're all spiritual beings before we were human beings. Could you share a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So I'm a firm believer in reincarnation. I believe that the earth is our playground and is our classroom. And so everyone here, like I was saying earlier, is designed to be psychic and to be sensitive. And a lot of people are, and they don't realize it, but what they do is they label themselves as having anxiety or having depression or feeling things so strongly, but not really allowing themselves to see the spiritual part of this, which is that, yes, you are sensitive, but to energy. So when we're able to understand that concept and that way of life, it takes away and it sort of destigmatizes the word psychic, you know. So it allows everyone to know that psychic is a good thing, and we all are on some level, just depending on how much energy you give to it. So like a muscle, if you definitely make it part of your daily routine, it grows and you have more trust within it, and you're definitely able to navigate through your life so that you don't, you know, if you have a bad feeling about someone on a first date or for a business meeting, you know to run the other way, you know, whereas if you didn't give your trust to it, you may stick around for longer than necessary. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So yeah. There is a connection between intuition, which I think many of us are more comfortable with that word, but there is a connection between intuition and psychic abilities.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, basically, intuitive could be looked at as another word for psychic. So your intuition is just your soul's knowing, so it's your gut knowing, it's that starting place of understanding what those feelings look like and what they feel like.
Yeah.
And then when you understand that, it develops more into understanding the psychic senses. But it all goes back to that opening, which is our intuition.
Mm. Yeah. I've had a number of guests come on who've crossed over and have come back and read their stories. I had an experience in hospice, and two other people were with me, two other nurses, and we all witnessed the same thing, where when the elderly gentleman passed away, we saw a vapor trace. Now, that isn't not a normal occurrence for me in some of the work that I have done in hospice, but it did open up my mind and my heart to the spiritual world. And you write in your book that spirits are trying to connect with us in a multitude of ways. So, Bill, would you give us some examples of how the people that we love on the other side and are missing greatly might be trying to reach out to us?
Yes, and they literally are doing it every day. What happens is that, you know, for someone who doesn't have a understanding of this realm, they might put it off as coincidence, you know. But the more that they are in tune with those signs, it just becomes so effortless. So spirit knows which signs are going to hit us the strongest. You know, it typically, if there's someone, let's just say your father passed away and, you know, he loved baseball or something, he's going to try to give you that connection because you will know it's from him. So it's always individual to the spirit and to the living person as well. But what I've seen over the years is that they like to use things tangible as well, like electricity, because they're actually able to manipulate the current of that flow. So we have like lights flashing, you know, TVs turning on and off, kind of like this Morse code way of communicating with them with electronics. Could also be music as well, where you get into the car and, you know, your loved one's favorite song pops on the radio unexpectedly. So they're always sort of one step ahead of us in that regard. And they also use nature as well. So, you know, seeing the red cardinal tap on your window every morning is not a coincidence. You know, this could be definitely mom's way of trying to get your attention, you know. And also, you know, for me, one of my mom's biggest symbols to me is a white butterfly. And in the beginning, I didn't understand what it was. It took me a couple of weeks to go, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense now. And once I gave credit to her in that validation, it's become an everyday part of my life.
Your work in this book is so important because as I'm hearing you share this, I'm guessing also if a person isn't even aware of this, or aware that a loved one can gently try to communicate with them through the various means that you're talking about, they could be oblivious to
Absolutely.
What's happening.
Yeah, so, you know, the reason why I wrote the second book was to really help anyone have a basic foundation, you know, of what intuition looked like, what psychic development looked like, and when we are present and when we sort of isolate the rest of the outside world away from us, we're then better able to pick up on these symbols and these signs. But it does require us to get out of our heads. So, yeah.
Yeah. And how are people receiving your work since you've really become public with this, with your books and also with the seminars and workshops and one-on-ones you're doing?
You know, I'm very blessed and very grateful that I've had a wonderful response from all over the world, actually, with this. And I'm so grateful for the feedback that I've received, not only through the readings, but also through my books as well, because it just shows that we all have a connection, and all we really want is to have someone tell us, you know what, you're not crazy, this is normal, you know. And so much of the time when we're growing up and when we're discovering who we are, we have someone in our head tell us, you know, oh, that's crazy, or what are you thinking? And so this programming happens on a subconscious level that sort of blocks us or maybe instills fear into us, into what we are experiencing isn't either, you know, of the light or is creepy or scary or is just ridiculous. So when people have been able to connect either with spirit through me or through my writing, they kind of have this aha moment that allows them to see that what they were experiencing was true and real. So it takes away that fear and that doubt that they once had.
You also say in your book, Bill, that chills or goosebumps are one way our soul sends a signal to our bodies that what we just saw or what we just heard came from the other side.
Absolutely, and that's one great way to recognize them, is because your etheric body kind of sends the signal to your physical body, and so it's just more validation on top of validation. So when you see the penny, you know, on the doormat that is, you know, your loved one's birthday, and then you go in the house and you feel the chills and you maybe even feel emotional as well, it's all part of that response system. I actually remember years ago when, probably at least 10 years ago, I was asking my mom for a new sign, and I just kind of surrendered it to her. And the next day when I was on the freeway, a car cut me off. And the license plate, once I noticed it, was customized to my mom's first name. And her name is Yvonne. So that's a very, very, you know, unique name. And, you know, so when I saw that, of course I had the goosebumps, and I started even being emotional because there was such a response to seeing how quickly she delivered that sign to me. So, you know, anyone can do it. It just requires an open heart, an open mind, and a complete knowing of surrender. So not trying to control what you think it should look like, but trusting that when it shows up, it's divinely sent to you, and it's the perfect message for you in that moment.
When you just shared that story, I got goosebumps.
Exactly.
In Indianapolis. That is wild. Have you ever had anybody come to you or somebody you know who was, let's say, an unbeliever, but something powerful happened and it changed?
Yes, and this happens actually quite a bit because, you know, when someone experiences that type of connection, it's definitely eye-opening for them because they're recognizing that a spirit's bringing up things that happened that morning, the night before, things that are very significant to them in that moment. So it definitely is eye-opening. But I've had experiences with people that were even atheists that years ago, you know, like would come in for the reading using a different, completely fake name, you know, and all that stuff. And they had their evidence because of it. and this also happens during my audience readings as well. You know, somebody will be dragged along, you know, and they'll end up getting a reading. And it's just so perfectly timed by spirit. So absolutely. And yes, even friends as well that maybe were on the fence, now true believers. And so that's always the icing on the cake, you know, for me, is to be able to show someone that, just to give them an opportunity to allow themselves to go to that space of belief. And when we do, this whole other world opens up.
I'm thinking of a few friends now who over the past couple of years each have lost spouses and are, of course, still deeply grieving about that. On the back of your book, you have in bold letters something I've always believed, and that's love never dies.
Great.
What advice do you have perhaps to someone right now who's listening, who's having a hard time believing that their loved ones are still accessible and trying to send them messages from the other side?
That's a great question. And what I would tell someone who is heavy in grief, because what I see all the time is that if someone is new to grief, like let's say they've lost someone within the past year or so, I would tell them, allow yourself to grieve. You know, don't hold back. You're allowed to let it come up. And so much of the time, we're taught to kind of like push our feelings down. So the first thing I would say is, allow yourself to be transparent. Allow yourself to be honest with yourself. Let all that come up, because those on the other side, their only purpose with us is to help us heal and to help us have a different belief system. And I would also encourage them just to really look into even the thoughts that they're having, because a lot of times people think that, you know, okay, I want my loved one to appear at my bedside before I go to bed at night in this dramatic type of way. And that's not always how it works, you know. They could give you a message by tapping into your mind and actually replaying a memory that the two of you had. And so the person that's experiencing the memory would want to put it off as a coincidence. Like, oh, that's my memory, you know, and that's great and all. But if you think about how spirit works through the messenger or through the medium, they're basically tapping into our reference system. They're tapping into all the knowledge that we have in our minds to then basically channel through messages, through like a charade in that essence. So they're always tapping into our higher self and into our minds. So I would say, allow yourself to just for one day, not put anything off as coincidence. Just kind of be aware of your thoughts, your feelings, you know, mail that comes in the mail or people that call you or music. Just really give yourself 24 hours to experience your awareness. That in itself is a catalyst for being able to understand how spirit communicates with us.
Are certain spirits more accessible on the other side than others?
I definitely feel that those souls that have a very strong emotional response to somebody, let's just say, you know, maybe they weren't able to say goodbye to someone, you know, or there was that unfinished business part of that, they usually are very available when somebody would go in for to have a reading, because they are trying to bring that closure, you know, and to instill that peace, that they're okay with the fact that they weren't able to have that last goodbye.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a definite component to that.
Yeah. In your mm-hmm. book, you share a lot of powerful stories. You also mm-hmm. write in your book, you suggest that instead of saying, I need to see it to believe it, that mm-hmm. we adjust it to, I need to believe it to see it. Explain why that is so important, to have that mindset.
Yes, it's so important, because we are each our own individual creator and our own manifestor. So every one of us that's on this earth is experiencing their own reality based upon their belief system and based upon their thoughts and their feelings. So I invite people to shift their belief system to needing to believe it, you know, to have that belief first. And what that does is it actually plants a seed in the subconscious mind. So it kind of works against the rational mind, and mm-hmm. it gives your higher self permission to be able to experience that energy. I'm such a firm believer that even our words that we speak on a daily basis hold so much power to them, you know, and the thoughts that we think as well. And so part of this goes in the same alignment as law of attraction, for example,
yes.
or manifestation. It's really kind of getting yourself on a really high place of energy, of vibration, and really detaching from the rational and the fear-based part of the human self. And when we're able to do that by simply giving ourselves permission with that belief, our whole world is turned upside down in a good way.
That totally makes sense. So
yeah.
Also, what about the role of prayer, affirmations, and or meditation in this?
Yeah, so prayer, affirmation, it's like, it literally is like casting out a net to the universe, you know,
mm-hmm.
and allowing
mm-hmm.
whatever is needed for your soul to experience to come into your vicinity. So prayer is a way of talking to God, talking to spirit, you know. Meditation is a way of listening in to their response, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
affirmations aid in that process by allowing ourselves to declutter the mind so we have more stillness and we have more belief and trust within ourselves.
Mm. So one question that I do need to ask, given the background that I've had, from your perspective
yeah.
as a psychic medium, mm-hmm. how would you describe what happens to us when we die?
That's a great question. And so the first thing that happens is there is a great reunion. So a lot of times when someone's crossing over, they're already surrounded by loved ones, by family, friends, either from this lifetime or from a previous lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And once they have that understanding that, yes, I've left the physical body, I'm in spirit form, then they kind of go through and they review their lives, you know, and they review the choices that they made, you know. And let's just say someone was a workaholic and they worked until they were 67 and then they died of a heart attack, you know, they might actually review their lives and go, well, you know, I probably could have taken more time to enjoy my life and not be so focused on work or, you know, having to bring in survival basic necessities, you know. So
mm-hmm.
there's a definite review that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that review happens, their soul is basically gravitated towards what its purpose is. So what I find a lot of the time is that they're either guiding their families or they are guiding someone else in the physical form to have that same type of enlightenment. So,
yeah.
you know, they're sort of living their lives, creating their lives, but they're also helping the living as well understand what it's like for them over there.
Yeah, that is so right on. I think most mm-hmm. hospice workers, if they've done it long enough, would also share that towards the end, that loved one in that bed is often staring up as if they're seeing something.
Oh, yes, yes. I've had experiences where people have called out to their families by
mm-hmm.
name, you know, as they were within their final few minutes of their physical death. And also even seeing things in the room like a white cloud or a white mist, you know, physically as well, it's palpable. You can feel if you're in the room when that shift happens,
mm-hmm.
and you can feel the heaviness being lifted off.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite an amazing experience. So people that I've spoken to that have worked in hospice and have worked with the dying as well, they're all believers. They all have a belief because they've seen it with their own eyes. And they've also felt it on some level as well. So in that sense, it's a gift. And I believe that people that work in hospice or work with the dying are, in essence, healers that are sort of sent here physically to give them permission to die or to help them with that, you know, with that process. So it's definitely big work.
It's amazing enough to know that our loved ones have crossed over, and there are ways that we can make communication, they can make communication with us. But you also remind us that we also have spirit guides. And can you, for our listeners, I think there's been a lot of misinformation on that. For you, what are spirit guides? Who are they?
Yeah, so spirit guides can be more than one selection. So, like, for example, my mother, who's in spirit, is one of my guides who works with me every day. So there is sometimes an element of, let's say, a grandparent dying a year before you were born or on your birthday. Mm-hmm. That's usually an indication that on a soul level, they have signed up to be your guide. But a lot of the times, we have a variety of guides. I always say we have, like, at least between 10 and 15 that surround us. Mm-hmm. So besides the blood connection, we also have people or guides that were sent to us to help us through different lessons. We all were born with a master guide that stays with us from the moment that we're born to the moment that we die. And then through life's different trials and tribulations, different souls are sent to us to help us get the lesson, to help us understand what's going on. So let's say somebody was an alcoholic and died from their addictions. They're going to come back and help people that are in that same space have an aha moment or have some kind of revelation. So it's never ending, and it's always shifting, you know, but their intention is to help the living understand life in a spiritual capacity.
Mm-hmm. So, Bill, how can we identify our spirit guides, or is that going to be in your third book?
what I would encourage people to do is just get familiar with the communication of in your mind, just speaking, you know, to them or verbally speaking. Get comfortable with that back and forth, because when you start actually consciously going, hey, who are you? Are you my guide? Give me more information. They deliver it to you, and it happens usually pretty quick. And I always tell people, I always allow myself to have that validation in signs of three. So if someone's wanting to know, you know, okay, who's my guide, you know, where'd you come from, really be open and receptive to what happens throughout your day. Mm-hmm. For example, you might be driving and you might be cut off by a car that has the license plate Daisy on it, and then all of a sudden you are walking at night and you walk past this beautiful garden of daisies, and then the next day there's another daisy reference as well. So you really want to pay attention to what's in your reference and what's in your vicinity. And then once that happens, the first time you may not be enough evidence, you know. That's why I always say, if you tell spirit, give it to me in threes, they will deliver that to you. And once you've had those three experiences, it's very, very not only comforting, but validating, and it's very evidential as well. So it kind of really pulls you out of that fear, doubt, ego space, and it pulls you into your divine being.
Yeah. Well, this second book for you, Signs from the Other Side, is absolutely full of amazing examples of powerful messages everyday people receive from their loved ones on the other side. Is there any particular one you could share with us, maybe a favorite you've had?
Yes, there's a ton of wonderful stories, but one of my favorite stories is about a husband who had lost his wife to breast cancer at the age of 36. And they had a daughter together. She was only a couple of years old when this happened. Mm-hmm. And deep within himself, he was wanting to know that she was okay, and that also that she was okay with his decision to start a new life, you know, buy a new home, kind of be in a new energy. So when he's in his new home that's being constructed, and he's, you know, consciously thinking about her and, you know, would she approve of this? he is in the kitchen, and they haven't even painted the walls yet, and he's thinking about her. And there's a color swatch on the wall right next to him, and he looks at it, and the color of the paint is Heather, and that was his wife's name. So, you know, that was a huge revelation for him. And, it, you know, talk about goosebumps. I'm sure he had plenty of them. Really just to validate that his question was answered in the best way that she felt he would be able to receive it. And so that also led to him understanding the lights flickering the few weeks previously, you know, and the other things happening. So it kind of brought it all around full circle for him. Amazing.
Yeah, it is very amazing. Very amazing. Mm-hmm. What do you most hope readers will take away from this book?
I most hope that they take away that they're never alone. Mm, that they truly are never alone. Even in what may be their darkest moments, spirit's always near them. And really, truly, if we just give our thoughts to that space and that energy, that's when that assistance and that healing comes into play.
Hmm. There will be listeners who will want to reach out and learn more about you, perhaps even schedule a session with you. Can you share your web address, please?
Absolutely. It's BillPhillips.com, and my last name is spelled a little bit different and uniquely. It's actually with one L and two P's, so it's PHILIPPS. So BillPhillips.com.
The book is Signs from the Other Side, Opening to the Spirit World. Bill Phillips, it's been an honor and a joy to have you on today's program. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I'm also equally as honored, and I thank you for allowing the opportunity.
In closing, I want to share something that Bill wrote in this book. It's on the very last page. He writes, "Why do spirits send us signs? To try to guide us in our daily lives. They help us choose the right paths, to bring us closer to one another. The greatest overall message I have received from the spirit world over the years is that we are here to experience love with each other. The spirits want us to stay connected through love. This life goes by in the blink of an eye. Nobody knows that better than they do. They can see the truth of that much more from their perspective now that they could than when they were here, because they no longer have the earthly distractions that they once had and that we still have. Be open to them. They know exactly what they're doing. Now, if you're still skeptical or not sure you can make this work, I encourage you to try it. Shift your thinking. Believe that spirits are around you. Believe that they are trying to communicate with you. Believe that they are as alive today as they were before they went to the other side, just in a different form. French philosopher Pierre Teilhard de Chardin is credited with saying, "We're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience." His quote has always resonated with me. Life is a beautiful journey, and although it's temporary, it does not end. Death is merely a transition. If you keep that mindset, you'll not be able to deny the presence of spirits in your life today. The signs, the proof, are everywhere. But you must remain open to seeing them. Only then will you receive the message that our inner light can never be extinguished. I highly recommend this read. The book again is Signs from the Other Side, Opening to the Spirit World. Please visit Bill online. Again, Bill Phillips, PHILIPPS.com. And that's our program. I'm Richard Brendan. I want to give a big thank you to my engineer, Thomas Gismondi, and my production coordinator, Angel Richardson, for making this happen. Hope you join us next week. You're listening to Dying to Live.